Today is the last day of the INTO conference, the union that represents primary school teachers. And over 850 INTO delegates have been attending the conference, which is taking place at the INEC, with over 1,000 teachers attending the event over the last 3 days. Radio Kerry's David Nelligan was there yesterday, and he spoke to John Boyle, General Secretary of the union, and first asked how the INTO conference was going.
Really, really well. I mean, we're obviously delighted to be back in the INEC because we're so well looked after here. We don't generally come to the same place 2 years in a row, but the Kerry Hospitality, and they're so professional here at both hotels, the Glen Eagle and the Brehon. And of course, the minister being from Kerry, it suited her fine too. So she joined us last night for dinner, and then she spoke to our delegates for about half an hour this morning, and I responded. So the nature of the conference yesterday is kind of looking back on the year and a lot of internal housekeeping business. And we got through that until 8 o'clock last night. And the president made an excellent address at the beginning, setting out the life of a child maybe born in 2023 and trying to predict maybe what would be in store for that child born in Ireland in 2023 and some of the challenges the child would face in education and in the wider world. And then the minister arrived this morning, and we gave her credit where credit was due. She has done a lot in terms of class size reductions. She's provided supply panels to cover for teacher absences. The principals in the small schools along the West Coast are delighted they got their 1 day release time for teaching principals. That means that they have 1 day a week to administer their schools, and when five schools go together, then they can employ a teacher to cover those, and it gives certainty to the children and to the school community. So she's done a lot in her three years, but my key message to her after she spoke to us this morning was that ambition is fine, but it's really imperative that there would be action. And with only 2 years probably left in her term of office, she needs to speed things up. So I laid down a lot of challenges to her, particularly in relation to the teacher supply crisis. The department, her department, even before her time and since, have really, really failed to plan properly for teacher supply. And we have scandalous situation that there's so many children in primary and special schools who didn't have a teacher to teach them this year for a day here and there, or in some cases for a month, and in the city areas maybe for the whole year. And in that case, then those children are losing out so much. It can sometimes be the most vulnerable children with special educational needs or in the disadvantaged schools, or sometimes it can be just in the ordinary schools that there's a teacher maybe going on maternity leave for the 26 weeks, and like any other young mother, they would expect that they would be covered by a fully qualified sub, and that used to be always the way. But unfortunately, in the last year, there's no guarantee you're going to be able to get cover. So they were some of the main issues, other than the pay, which I can come to in a minute.
But number of students in the classes now, and obviously Kerry, similar to yourself up in Donegal, a lot of rural schools, especially in the last year or so, have seen an increase of new students from the likes of Ukraine and things like that. How have your members been finding the increase of and taking in all these extra students in the last while?
Well, we actually had two leaders of the Ukrainian Union here speaking to the delegates, and whatever standing ovations were given earlier on in the morning, they were really, really well received, and with quite a lot of children actually, and teachers from St. Oliver's and Ballycashin here in Killarney came in as well, and presented those union leaders with little gifts that they had made at school and some local gifts from the Killarney, Kerry area. So that was a lovely piece. But in terms of the question you're asking, you know, there's 10,000 children from Ukraine, not to count all the other children who have arrived into Ireland fleeing from natural disasters. And they have been so well looked after, and we really did give credit for the department, because when the war broke out, this unspeakable war in Ukraine, we had a meeting immediately with the Department of Education, and we asked for a number of supports for schools. You might not be aware, or your listeners, that if you get an extra, say, 20-odd children into your school, generally speaking, you don't get a teacher to teach them. You have to wait until the following September to find out, did you reach the threshold? And we made the point to them that these children deserve to get a teacher straight away. Obviously, they wouldn't have English as a first language, so they need to get English language support. And we also made the case that some of the children would be traumatised and maybe have special educational needs. So it took a while for the latter to be looked after, but they are now being looked after. But the children got their teachers straight away. There's 2,000 teachers now teaching English as an additional language across primary and post-primary. So the department really stood up to the plate. And what I was trying to say to the minister today is, obviously these children, there may be more arriving, but we'll need to get these supports ongoing. It wouldn't be sufficient now to provide the supports in their first year here and then to withdraw them because they need as much help as they can get. So look, at she's done really well in that regard, but I suppose there's a lot more challenges. Obviously the schools have not alone welcomed the children with open arms, but some of the schools of course might have been in declining enrollment in the Western Seaboard, and the extra bonus then was with the new children that they managed to save their school or save teaching posts. So all in all, I think that's been a really good news story, and the Ukrainian leaders who are here were so appreciative of how Ireland has supported them and worked in solidarity with them. And hopefully the children will all get back to their native homeland, but it might be a while yet, so it's important we look after them.
At the moment, obviously, there's a large cost of living crisis, and I know there's teachers' wages disputes and obviously burnout. Was this something you addressed with the minister, or something just even as the INTO you discussed amongst yourselves?
We have motions that come through from the branches, from the grassroots, and we have been discussing those. And on the pay, as you can imagine, it was the first topic on the agenda, even though a lot of the motions deal with educational issues. But our members, like every other worker, I'm sure, including yourself, were struggling with the increasing cost of groceries up by 15%, and certainly nothing coming down in price. And I drew to our attention, of course, that in the last 12 months, the Irish economy has grown by 15%. So I believe that all workers, private sector and public sector, deserve a slice of that economic growth, because after all, it's the workers who are creating it. So I made a strong case to her for a different type of public service agreement in the years ahead. So this one runs until the end of December, but the talks on the next one will be again probably in the summer. And the point I was trying to make with her is, first of all, in our sector, everybody needs a pay rise. There's no doubt about that. Inflation is still rising. It has risen since Christmas, still fairly dramatic. And other than dealing with inflation, there's a number of other outstanding issues from the austerity era, where we used to have extra support, say, if you took on extra work in teaching. So, for example, if you were working in an island school, you'd get a few bob to pay for the ferry. If you were working in a Gaeltacht school, for a couple of pianella, just like Cadulat, which has been the case since the beginning of the state to promote the language. And then if you were working in special education and you did a diploma or you did a master's or a doctorate, you got your fees kind of covered through an allowance. And those things were all stripped out in 2012. And one of the big things that happened in 2009 actually was a moratorium on promotions. And we have our pre-vigy and last pre-vigy now as in the Bunscullina, and they're very, very little support, particularly in the larger schools, whereas they used to have assistant principals to help them. And we're making the case that there's still 1,300 of our schools out of the 3,200 who don't have their middle management tier back. So I wanted the next pay deal to be different, and from the point of view, there would have to be money, obviously, to counter inflation. But there's issues that happened back in austerity that we haven't forgotten about. And then the other big case we were making was that it's now nearly 25 years since there was any detailed analysis of public sector roles, and the job of a teacher has changed dramatically in the last quarter century. And we feel that the next pay agreement nationally is going to have to start looking at this as well, because we want to have the very, very best people working in our schools. And we're finding that they're leaving in droves, and have been for a number of years, going off to sunnier climes where they're getting better pay and maybe better conditions is nearly more important, in that they have an opportunity to develop their careers and get into a promotional position. And they're not inclined to be coming back here to go down to the bottom of the ladder again. The government here doesn't even give them credit for the time that they worked abroad and their experience. So we were asking to make sure that if there was somebody now that was driven out of the country in 2011-12 because of pay equality and wanted to come back, that she would actually encourage them to come back and put a few incentives in place for them.
Tomorrow there's lots of motions on the table. What are you kind of, I suppose, aiming for and hoping for from the day?
There's a number of motions on supports for vulnerable children, supports for children in educationally disadvantaged backgrounds, support for children with special educational needs. There's motions there as well for improving conditions for teachers. For example, we had a very, very big success there recently, where we got the same leave after bereavement for a teacher as other public servants, and we were out of sync with that for a while. So very difficult for anybody who loses a child or a loved one, a close relative, to go back into the school immediately. So if you lose a spouse or a partner or a child now, you're going to get the 4 weeks leave. One of the big issues is to try to get the restoration of the leave cover for self-certified absence from school if you're sick for a couple of days, or if you have illness in family that you have to bring your child to a hospital, because up until the recessionary years we had cover for those things and the department took it away, but they're not, haven't been allowed a sub ever since. And the impact of that then on, let's say, a small school, you know, with 84 children, if one of those teachers is out and they don't have a substitute for the day, instead of having 21 in the class, you're going to have 28. So those other 7 children going into the class, you know, it's more supervision really than teaching. You know, despite your best efforts, you don't know the children as well. So there'll be plenty of discussions again tomorrow. We also have a private session, and that deals with some sensitive issues that would be of concern to members.
And that is John Boyle, General Secretary of the Irish National Teachers Organisation, speaking to Radio Kerry journalist David Nelligan yesterday at the union's conference in the INEC Killarney.